Dwayne, Raptors win. Get out the salami and cheese, mama. This ball game is over. There you go, folks. It's all good. It's all good.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Terp. These are your hosts. I haven't done this in a while. So these are your hosts, Talib and Akshay here. Akshay, what are we, episode 21? 20?
21. We could. We just started. We could stop and restart, but I'm just going to let everybody listen to you stumble over your words.
You know, when you don't do it for a while, it just like gets all over, jumble wumble all over the place. Plus, I think the excitement of being the Eastern Conference champ.
Oh, wow.
Pretty awesome, right?
We got to see all our guys wearing the shirts and the hats.
Amazing. I felt like the city was championing and like partying as if it was, we won the championship.
I know. Imagine they do win the championship. Well, it would be crazy.
No, I think the city will burn down.
Oh, like no. No arrests were made. Many people were on TTC buses.
I didn't see people on top of TTC buses, and no arrests were made. I guess it's amazing, Toronto.
Yeah, I think the cops just knew what was like going on, and they probably were just like, okay, guys, off the bus, and then people got off the bus, and then they didn't make any arrests. I think that's pretty much it. They probably saw lots of stupidity, but they just told everybody to stop, and they stopped, and so there was no arrests.
Oh, man. All right, give us a quick recap. Akshay, what was your – I'll ask you two questions here. First, ask you what your favorite part of the series was, and the second question I'll ask you is, where do you think the series changed?
Man, okay. So usually Talib and I do prep, but today I decided, I was like, Talib, we're just going to wing this. So we're just going to see how it goes. Just come from the heart. So what was your first question?
What was your favorite
part of this series? I think the bench performing whenever the third game or something, third or fourth game, when they really started to perform, that was kind of like the most relieving part for me. Because it was just so painful to watch in the Philly series for the bench to not perform. And also I think Kyle just having a huge series on a big stage. I love that. And where did the series change? I mean, a lot of it, obviously people are going to say they put Kawhi on Giannis, but reality is they put Kawhi on Giannis and they played the 2-3 zone. And I think really the 2-3 zone is what got them. Like, they literally did the same play to Giannis over and over again. He ran to the top of the three-point line. They hit him there. When he came around the defender, the center was there to meet him. And then he isn't a great passer out of double teams. And they just closed on shooters really well. And that's pretty much where the series was won, on defense, which is awesome. Especially in today's NBA, to win a series on defense is pretty awesome. How about you? What was your favorite parts of the series, and where did you think it turned?
Favorite part of the series, and I'll tell you a specific part, was the dunk. The Kawhi dunk. The Kyle Lowry steal, Kawhi dunk, game 6. That was my favorite part of the series, just because it was everything that I loved. You know, Kyle stealing the ball as he does always. He does very often. And then setting up Kawhi for the monster jam, which brought the house down and kind of like didn't put the nail on the coffin. They went on a run right after, but kind of got the entire crowd elevated for that point. That was an awesome part. Where I think the series really changed was, I thought it was our ability to play our half-court defense and slow Milwaukee down completely.
Yeah, so they scored like 80 points per possession in the half-court, which is, for anybody who's not familiar, like an average offense is like 101. So to hold a really good offense to 80 points in the half-court is really good.
Milwaukee, the fear was that Milwaukee would come out in transition and run in point, but I think our transition defense was so good that we'd restricted a lot of those fast pace and we'd slow the game down and force Milwaukee to run a couple of plays. And every time they'd run a play through Giannis, it was a double team. But I don't think Giannis is a bad passer. I really don't. I think it was our players were so positioned so well that any pass he would make would be within the passing lanes. Any pass that you make would be within arm's reach of our defenders. So you'd often get a steal, or he'd be forced to make a pass that's not even there. So very good help defense, very good, like, I think, defense in general, in my opinion. I think we're really, really good at that. And obviously the bench coming up was added bonus. I knew they were going to come up slowly one day or the other. But this was a game more about the Raptors utilizing their bench and actually being more effective than Milwaukee's bench. The Milwaukee's bench was almost non-existent for a while. Like, I don't even know. Other than Brook Lopez, who, oh my God, I hate him so much. Because
he had one good game. That was it, Talib. One game.
He had that one game, which kind of like scared the crap out of me. But he is a very good player. He's a very good player. I don't know how a player like that on 2 miles an hour foot speed does so well. But it was good to see us restricting them all over. So yeah.
Oh man, hit turning the corner. Like, how does he get to the basket? I don't know.
I don't know how he gets to the basket. He's so slow. He's really slow. And now he's gonna get paid a lot of money.
By not the Milwaukee Bucks, because they can't afford him.
I think they'll probably go to the luxury tax.
They're gonna be luxury tax. Even just signing Middleton, they're gonna be luxury tax. They're not good, because so they can only offer him the max, the big mid-level exception, which this year is around $9 million, which for sure is an upgrade for him, because he only made three this year. But I think somebody's going to offer more than 1 year $9 million deal, because they found out how he can be used.
Oh, it's amazing. I think it's the crazy thing is they have to sign Brogdon as well.
Yeah, he's a restricted, right? And he's going to get some offers.
Where is their money tied up right now?
In Giannis.
Okay, that's big. And Bledsoe.
Bledsoe, yeah, the new $70 million deal. Who else? I'm just thinking. They've got a bunch of guys, like Tony Snell makes $10 million. He doesn't play for them, but he makes $10 million.
That's tough.
Yeah, and then so between, I mean, I'm trying to go around their roster in my head. If you're going to pay, the thing is, once you pay two guys max, you're done. Like, you're in the luxury tax. And so they're going to have to pay. Giannis is not max, but he's close to max. And they're going to have to pay Middleton close to max in himself. And then Bledsoe is making $15, $20 million himself. And then you have $10 million on Snell.
Bledsoe is an interesting player, man. I think for a guy who doesn't have a three-point shot, we neutralized him really, really well. It was pretty easy to neutralize him.
You know, we hate on Kyle Lowry's playoff performances. I don't particularly, but I'm just talking in general. Toronto fans do. And the last three series, the better point guard has been in Toronto. He outplayed DJ Augustine outside of the first game. He outplayed Ben Simmons outside of the one game he had. And he definitely outplayed Bledsoe by a long shot the series. Like, it's not even close.
Bledsoe was completely neutralized. Like, it was not even, and it was, yeah, that was a tough one though, right? I thought that if anything Bledsoe would come in and drive and force the defense to be a completely different, like, you know, switch out a bit lot more. But he just couldn't get past some of our defenders, and we were challenging him to take that 3-point shot. We're like, if you're gonna shoot us.
I pulled up the Bucks contracts just while you were talking there. Yeah. So next year, this is who they have on contract. Giannis for $25 million, almost $26 million. George Hill, $18 million.
Is he a player option or is he a
free? No, it's on the books. It's nothing. Ooh. It's not an option. And then Bledsoe, 15.625. And then Tony Snell, $11 million. And Ilyasova, $7 million. And then they have about $10 million in about another five guys tied up.
The George Hill one is a tough one.
Yeah, so they're already at $100 million committed next year without signing Middleton. And Brogdon. Yeah, no Brogdon and no Middleton signed, and they're already at $100 million.
This is going to be interesting for the Bucks.
So that George Hill contract and Tony Snell, that's almost $30 million in those two contracts.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting one. I don't know if you know if you need George. I think they'll try to get rid of George Hill, but good luck finding a suitor for $18 million for George Hill.
Yeah, well, you need to take back money, right? And it's a 1 year expiring. You might as well keep it and try to use it at the trade deadline to flip it for a better player with more years, right? So that's what you'll try. But it's their financial situation is tough. It's tougher than the Raptors for sure. Okay, enough about the Bucks. One more thing about Bucks. Your cousin who lives in Milwaukee, did you talk to him?
Yeah. How was he feeling? He was not happy, obviously. But we were pretty cordial about it, though, right? I mean, like, I think it's cordial because I don't hate Milwaukee. I there's nothing to hate about Milwaukee. Like, the Bucks are a great team. Everyone on that team is like a great player. I think I really love Brogdon, Giannis. They're great players. They're not cocky. They don't talk shit. They don't talk trash. They're good players. Great basketball minds. So, and nothing to hate about the Bucks. But no, I think it was good. But what is funny? I'll tell you something. I was in a WhatsApp group with some of his friends in a fantasy basketball group. And they're all it's the group is called Bucksketball, right? So it's all Milwaukee Bucks fans in there. And I'm the only Raptor in there. I've stayed quiet for the majority of it. The first game, I think the first playoff game, Kyle Lowry did poorly. Someone put a comment on there. Kyle Lowry is one of the worst performers. I was like, come on, man. Kyle Lowry has been a really good performer. Showed him stats. And then I just stayed quiet because I was like, there's no point arguing or anything like that. But before the Bucks and Raptors series, some of these guys start sharing these, or after the first two games, they start sharing these memes on there with the Bucks eating the Raptors, you know, like these cartoon memes.
Yeah, yeah.
I did not respond to that.
Obviously, you're so mad. I'm surprised you even stayed in the group.
No, I gotta say, I gotta respect the Bucks. That's what it is. But I didn't respond to it after the series is over. But I did note it. But I was going to respond to it and just put a snarky face, smiley face on there. But let bygones be bygones. I like the Bucks. If it was Sixers fans, I would have definitely done it.
You should just send Drake's picture to the group.
Yeah, no one likes Drake, apparently. I think that's one thing I've noticed, right? I think they find Drake very annoying. I love it. I absolutely
know. It's
really
fine.
Love it.
He's got passion. I've learned to love Drake even more because he's just... He's got so much passion on the sidelines. It's not fake. You can't fake that passion.
You know, right? It's like one of us going to a game. When we go to the game, we're exactly as passionate. We're jumping up and down. The biggest difference, I think my buddy said, is that we're in the 300 levels.
Yeah.
And he's on the courtside tickets, right? So the passion is there, and that kind of shows you how authentic of a fan he is, right?
You know, I'm convinced, like, apparently the U.S. feeds, you watch the U.S. feeds sometimes, I never watch them, but apparently U.S. feeds show Drake a million times.
Oh, they show him a lot.
Which probably means, like, so that, you know, like, in these playoff games, as it comes later and later, they have more and more cameras, and they'll have cameras that are basically tracking players, right? Yeah. So they'll have, like, a Kwai cam.
Yeah.
So, like, anything Kawhi does off the ball, you'll capture it. I'm convinced they have a Drake cam. Like, literally, they probably have one guy just focused on Drake.
I mean, look at it. After the fourth game, was it fourth game? It was, they were talking about Drake on the news, man. Like, he's not even a player. This is a fan. They're talking about the fan, how distracting he is and everything like that. But you know what? It's crazy. I'm like, they're talking about Drake in the news where I feel like they got to talk about, like, Bledsoe shooting or something, you know, like, or like, where did Nikola, what is it, Mirotic go?
Yeah.
You know, they were bringing up issues with Drake, which I was like, not really a valid issue, not really anything, like, significant.
Thank God they traded for Gasol and not Mirotic, eh?
Man, I don't know. Gasol was surprising to me this series. I had initially called that I think this would have been Serge series, but Gasol, after the first two games, was one of my favorite players to watch. His defensive game was phenomenal. He was very good. He has some way. He played Giannis really well when Giannis came into the paint, defended him really well, defended everyone absolutely perfectly, and he hit those three-pointers. So once he hits like a couple of three-pointers, defenses are honest and not moving, right?
Yeah. No, he doesn't make many mistakes on defense. It's like you don't want guards to switch onto him, but like when they do, I'm not scared.
Absolutely.
Unlike when Kawhi switched on Brook Lopez, like he cooked him.
Oh yeah.
It was nothing. Like the stats on Brook Lopez guarding Kawhi are insane. I think it was something like 1.8 something points per possession on every time that they did that switch, which is really, really high.
Yeah.
Like that. Like,
it's like an automatic.
Yeah, it's pretty much you're getting a bucket. 1.8 is you're getting a bucket whenever Brook is on him. So, yeah. So, I mean, he did great. You know, one of the things I kind of love is everybody's playing the same style of basketball, you know, like shoot up threes, and everybody's trying to beat the Warriors playing their game. You know, like the Cavaliers play the same style. LeBron and four shooters and just try to jack up threes, right? Houston was like, we're going to play this on a spreadsheet and we're going to beat Golden State with just bombing three balls all day long. And all these teams have failed. And this is the first team that their defense carried them through this playoffs. Yeah. Like 100%. They played, I was thinking about it today, they played three bad games on defense this year, this whole playoffs. The first Orlando game, the third or fourth Philly game was it third?
The beatdown,
the beatdown where they went down 2-1 and we were all stressed.
Yeah.
And then the second Milwaukee game.
Yeah.
Those are the three games where I'm like, their defense let them down. They just didn't play hard enough. Other than that, 15 games, their defense has been very, very good, like elite level good.
Yeah, it's been fantastic, especially in the last 4 minutes. We just lock down and you're getting turnovers every time. Very cool to watch. But yeah. Let's move forward into our next. Let's have some time to talk about the Golden State Warriors.
Oh, we're in the finals. It feels weird. Like, I know we're in it, but I still just don't know how to process it. Like, I just don't know how to handle this feeling of like being in the finals on a sport that I watch with such regularity.
It's pretty easy. You know how you do it? Go to StubHub. Go check out the prices for the tickets, and then you realize, okay, yeah, we're in the finals.
What do we get? So we were looking at ticket prices. I sent you some. The last series, one of the guys on my WhatsApp sends out, he's a season ticket holder, so he sends out prices for tickets. The last series, I think the two tickets in level 300s was, what, $600 he was charging?
$600 each.
And this one was, what, 3,000?
It was ridiculous.
Something like that.
Yeah, it was gone.
Something like that. $3,000 for the same seats that were $600. Last series are now like $3,000,
but it's
ridiculous.
It's I think the prices are coming down a bit, but it's not that much. Like, I think if you want to watch the game, the Scotiabank Arena, whatever it is, you're gonna have to dish out at least a grand, minimum grand.
Yeah, per seat. I just pulled it up. So the same seats he was offering last time for $600, he's now offering for $2,150.
You know what that does?
That's crazy.
I mean. It is corporate. It's corporate agenda. Fine. I think what you got to do. I think it's more and more people get packed out in Jurassic Park. More and more people are out watching. It's true though, right? I mean, look how packed Jurassic Park was. Jurassic Park was huge. And I think I got to give Milwaukee credit. The Milwaukee, whatever that outdoor stadium where they were watching, that was insane.
Yeah, but they weren't as packed as ours was. Ours was like crazy 10 a.m. lineups.
No. The first time I saw that Milwaukee thing, that was ridiculous.
Yeah.
That was way bigger than Jurassic Park. Then they expanded Jurassic Park.
Yeah. Then Jurassic Park went all the way to the Sky Dome.
Yeah, it went up to Sky Dome afterwards.
But holy moly.
The Milwaukee one was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Good for them, right? So it's always.
So they announced they're doing a Jurassic Park in Mississauga and in Brampton for the finals.
Fantastic. I'm sure Six Buzz and all that shit can be happening all over in Brampton and Mississauga. Those guys don't have to come to downtown Toronto.
Okay, so the Warriors. So just a couple of stats on the Warriors that I heard on some podcast I was listening to today. I can't remember. The Warriors enter. So these are playoff rankings. The Warriors enter with the first ranked offense in the playoffs and the eighth ranked defense, and the Raptors enter with the first ranked defense in the playoffs and the eighth ranked offense in the playoffs. Now, obviously, small sample size, 18 games for the Raptors, probably like 12 or 13 for the Warriors, but still kind of tells you a little bit about the teams. Like, one team is going to, you know, play defense, one team's going to try to play offense, and you're going to really see a battle of the two. So, you know, that's kind of where the story of this playoffs is going to go. And I actually think that's why the Raptors are kind of getting a chance in this playoffs. Like, there's a lot of people going like Golden State in six, blah, 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 and I get it. But there's still some respect for the Raptors because they're playing differently than the Warriors are. And that's the first time in a long time somebody's actually tried to play the Warriors differently and not try to beat them at their own game.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
That's an interesting one, especially on the I wonder how the pace of this game is going to be. We've played with the Raptors, with Orlando, Philly, and Milwaukee. It's been like a slow-paced game. Like it had Milwaukee a little fast-paced, but like majority of the first two series have been like slow-paced, right? We've slowed the game down. I mean, they've slowed the game down, and we've adjusted into our half-court defense. Has been really good. Now we play a team that's plays very fast. Mm-hmm. Now, can our transition defense actually step up and not rely on our half-court defense that we have? That's an interesting one, right?
Yep. Or do we? I think it's going to be faster. I think it's going to be faster, but not like regular season fast.
I think we'll should be able to slow them down a bit because I think that's when our defense can really excel really well.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, you want to play them. So like the ideal scenario is you want to slow them down, but you want to still take your transition opportunities when you can, because those are easy buckets. But like, that's obviously a very ideal scenario. Both teams want to do that. So I think it's going to be a little faster than the Milwaukee series, because I think there's going to be more turnovers because Golden State's very prone for turnovers, but still it's going to slow down. You want to go player by player or position by position?
And yeah, see, let's do it.
See what we think.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's say at point guard, Kyle Lowry versus Steph Curry. I'm going to take KD out of this because who knows when he's going to come back.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Kyle Lowry versus Steph Curry. So I think that one's pretty obvious. You're going to give the nod to
Kyle Lowry.
To
Steph Curry. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
The true homer.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's definitely
so Steph Curry.
Steph Curry all reminds right. me of like an energized JJ Redick. That's what he is. He's just going to run around all over the place. I think he runs like 8 miles a game or something like that during the game.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, I think Klay probably runs even more because he's off ball even more.
Yeah, they're right? both like insane. So like it's going to be Kyle and Fred VanVleet trying to like battling him off screens. And I think what they're going to try to do is they're going to really try to force him to take the mid-range. Instead of the three, so force him a little inside, and he's not in. He hasn't done. I don't know if he's probably is a good decent shooter, but mid range is not his forte. So forcing him a little into the mid range game would be interesting to see.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he's going to take him, but I feel like the thing is Steph Curry is like you just want to limit the explosions. Like you want to no 40-point games. If he gets 25, that's fine. Let him get his 25.
Man, this is
40s.
This is the team that goes on runs. That's what I'm scared of. They'll go on this run for like 2 minutes and they'll score like 20 points. And you're like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah. Yep. It's fun. You have five. It's like 2 minutes to go in the half, 5-point game, and now it becomes 15 really quick. Yeah. So, okay. So next position, shooting guard, Danny Green versus Klay Thompson.
It's also Klay.
Yeah, so Klay, so the two, and then the third one.
But that was an interesting one, because if Danny Green can hit his shots, he'll force Klay to stay on the perimeter all times.
Play some defense. But you still got to give it to, like, obviously, Klay's a much better player than Danny Green.
Absolutely, 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 no doubt about that.
Third, so small forward is Kawhi versus, I guess, Andre Iguodala.
Yeah, that's going to be Kawhi. I don't know if Andre Iguodala has gone a little slower, so they're gonna double on Kawhi at this point.
Everybody doubles on Kawhi now. Yeah. So, power forward is Pascal versus Draymond. I think this one's the most interesting one.
This is interesting because I think Draymond, if you know, there's a stat. I think he has like 44 blocks in 16 games, right? 44 blocks. This is a small forward getting 44 blocks in his last 16 games. It's a pretty ridiculous number. Now, the crazy thing is his blocks are all on help side defense. So if he's guarding like Al-Farouq Aminu or whatever the hell he's guarding, he's leaving his man to go to like James Harden or anyone else to be that help defender. So he's getting those blocks easy. Now, this becomes an interesting challenge because Pascal is on another level. Pascal can run and make Draymond work for his offense. And he showed that really well against Giannis as well. He didn't allow Giannis to go on the transition. And Draymond, you got to be careful with him on the transition. He torched Portland on that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think they're not going to find as much easy transition as they did in the Portland series. The Portland series, like their rim defenders are terrible. Like without Nurkic, they were not good. Like you had Cantor with a bum shoulder and fasting.
Ramadan Cantor.
And then you had Myers Leonard and Zach Collins. Like it's none of that. And Al-Farouq Aminu. Like none of those guys are gonna really strike fear in your hearts when you're trying to go to the rim. So
I'm telling you, I think you need to put Chris Boucher out and put Draymond on his ass. Or Chris Boucher's
just to get six fouls. Yeah, just to get six fouls.
I don't think Chris Boucher is going to do anything. He's like 110 pounds.
Hey, you didn't tell me. Who do you give the advantage to against Draymond versus Pascal?
This is definitely a Pascal offense, I think.
You think you're gonna? I would give this one to Draymond right now,
Pascal,
because he's playing really well. But it's tough. This one is really because Draymond is playing well. Like if you told me regular season, I would have said Pascal. But Draymond is playing well right now, and Pascal is trying to figure out his playoff, being playoff Pascal, which is like a different version, right? Because he's not getting all the easy stuff he was getting in the regular season.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this one's kind of tough. Center position is going to be Marc Gasol. I mean, we can even combine it. We say Marc Gasol and Serge Ibaka versus Looney and I guess Cousins if he comes back. I don't know.
Oh, this is this is definitely Marc Gasol.
Yeah, this is. I think this is Raptors' favorite. So I think
the most important thing of this one is you gotta have to rebound because you're gonna have to rebound. And Marc Gasol, Serge Ibaka, you're smaller guys now. Like you're bigger guys compared. You're taller. You're against this Golden State offense. You gotta get those offensive rebounds.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I mean, basically any game that we rebounded well, we ended up winning for the most part.
That's gonna be really key.
Yeah. So we say two positions are going to Golden State, two to the Raptors. One is kind of a toss up. We think the power forward position. It's gonna be tight. I mean, we're obviously Steph and Klay are like amazing players. So they obviously can go off and none of this matters if they go off. But I think it's going to be tighter than the media is giving credit for. And I think Toronto has a legit chance in this series, and especially because they have home court too. They start in Toronto, which is so weird. I would like against Golden State.
I know. I love it. They're starting in Toronto. It's going to be good. But it's a 9 p.m. start. 9 p.m. Goddamn, that's late.
The West Coast, I mean, listen, they can play the finals at 2 in the morning and I'm watching. It doesn't matter.
It's ridiculous.
It doesn't matter. okay. Do you wanna do anything else you wanna talk about this series? There's one. Okay, what do you want?
Who is the top, give me right now, quick, top five Raptors of all time, right at this moment.
Oh my god. Top five of all time. In terms of talent, I would say Kawhi, Vince, Kyle, DeMar, Chris Bosh.
Okay. This is mine.
Okay.
Kawhi.
Yeah.
Derek Martin.
Keeping that 3-point streak alive, which is irrelevant now because everybody hits threes all the time.
Okay, it's Kawhi, DeMar, Kyle, Vince, and I do think the last one is going to be, I'm going to give it to the talent-wise, Tracy McGrady.
Oh yeah, okay. I don't think of him. Yeah. T-Mac might be like number two if you actually think like peak T-Mac. But I'm thinking when he was here, he was averaging like 10 points.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. All right. That's about it. Oh, predictions. Quick predictions.
No. Wait. Hold on. One more question. One more thing. Who is going to start guarding Steph Curry?
Oh, that's it's going to be Kyle Lowry.
You think he's going to start on Kyle? It's not going to be like Kyle on. See, I think they may do something funky like. Kawhi on Draymond to start and Kyle guarding Iguodala and then Pascal with length on Steph. The only one that I'm almost like 100% certain of, maybe not 100, like 95% certain of, I think Danny's going to guard Klay Thompson and chase him around.
Dude, that could be pretty funny.
That's what I think is going to happen because I just don't think Kawhi can chase around Klay and then be responsible for 35 points on the other end.
No. Kawhi's not going to be on Klay or Steph. He's going to be
maybe limited, but there's a lot of switching that goes on. So I think this is going to be a heavy switch series. So, I mean, who people guard is kind of irrelevant because there's a lot of switching going on, but it'd be interesting to see who starts off on who.
Also, one more thing. We'll end it off before predictions. You had discussed that the Phoenix Suns is one of the worst organizations in the NBA. Has that changed?
Yes. Why? Because you think the Lakers are worse?
I think the Lakers are worse. If you haven't seen that, the Lakers are like, oh my God, there's an ESPN article that came out, and then Magic went on the Stephen A. show again today.
We're just comparing shit shows to shit shows. Like, they're both they're both terrible.
LA or Phoenix?
I still say Phoenix because I think the ownership in Phoenix is worse.
I think LA.
That's, I think if you've got bad ownership, it's like, I think Genie Bus is going to figure it out.
It's just a joke, this is. Yeah. All right.
I don't think Sarver is ever going to figure it out. Okay, predictions.
Yeah. Go for it.
Oh, you want me to go first?
Yeah, go first.
Oh, do I think with my head or my heart?
Last time we think with our head and we were wrong.
No, I will think with, I will say Raps.
Whoa.
In seven, finishing it off. I think on Father's Day.
Man.
I think the last game is on Father's
Day. Yeah, I don't want to game seven. Game seven is also India versus Pakistan. So it's a 5:30 game. So that's going to be pretty interesting.
It's fine. I think that's what it's going to, that's my guess. Vic.
Okay.
How about you?
I got Raps in four.
All right. We'll leave it at that. Have a good one, everybody.
All right. See you later, guys.
Bye.